I never really thought that it would go this far. You know, we're actually going to get the car on the stages, which I think is great. Great for the people of our era who remember that, you know, to see it. Rather than going to a museum where it sits in this wee nest, it's going to be live and ages, and I think that's good.
You have to give the team a mention because a lot of people put a lot of effort into this.
Oh, huge effort. Like, you know, number one, Donna Kelly, like his vision is everything to make this happen. It's, and I think it's great that it's a Donegal man. And it's in Donegal, it's not in Dublin, it's not in Cork, it's not in Birmingham, it's here. Paul Murphy was unbelievable. Like, I don't know how his persistence, his attention to detail, Declan McBrearty, Jared Callaghan, you know, when, like, it's not as nice as it is now when it arrived in Jared's place and he had a bit of welding and a lot of work to do. And the boys this last few nights, we thought today this is not going to even make it, it's not going to make it here this evening, like, you know. Then we got the phone call to say it's strapped and it's on its way, so our next hurdle now is scrutiny, so we're just right that now.
We're getting through scrutiny, but there's going to be a lot of people delighted and very happy to see this car on the road over the next few days.
No more than me. I never thought that I would ever say it. As I said, I thought maybe there might be a deja vu or something like that, but, like, to go, you know, to get down the stage, like I said, we're doing a demonstration, yes, we're not what we were 35 years ago, but to see it live and be part of that and get down the stage, get the helmet on, like, stuff is dreams for an old guy, isn't it?
Yeah. You're not that old now. We're bringing in Sinead Canny from County Clare, currently living in Malaysia, is that right?
Singapore.
Singapore. How excited are you to get sitting in a rally car alongside this man, given the nostalgia and the historical link with it now this weekend?
The people who know me know I don't get lost for words very often, but I feel genuinely lost for words. I'm emotional, so I can only imagine how James must feel and the team that have brought this to life. It's just nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah, I'm sure it was an easy enough yes to say at the time. Like, James sat with Ellen. Ellen was the winner, and Ellen was a pioneer for female navigators and for females in motorsport in general. And you're here now sitting beside James, and no doubt you guys will have lots of conversations about how great a lady Ellen was, and marking, I suppose, her input into the sport as well with this run.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have a job this weekend to sit beside James and call some really good notes for him, but, you know, my main job here this weekend also is to remember Ellen Morgan. She was simply a trailblazer, co-driver of her time. She was the only female co-driver ever to win the Donegal International Rally, and not only to do it once, to do it again in 99. So I'm just truly honoured to fly the flag for her this weekend, and also to encourage any female who wishes to get involved in this sport, whether it's a volunteer or a competitor. The doors are open, you can make it happen, and I guess I am proof of that.
Yeah, okay, listen, you have a nice, safe rally, okay? James, you enjoy yourself as well. I can't wait to see it back at the finish ramp on Sunday. I'll get a good reception.
Going to do my best now when I saw it here this evening. I was just so relieved, and it's the start of a fantastic journey. So we'll look forward to getting it done back on the ramp again 35 years later on Sunday evening.
Everybody sends you the best wishes. Give them a round of applause. James and Sinead on the return of the Pink Panther. Well done, good stuff. Good on you, Sinead. Before we hear from the Donegal competitor, Aaron Johnston, where did he go to? Where's Aaron Johnston? Where are you, Aaron? Up you. Oh, there you come. Good to see you. We're going to get a Tyrone man waving a Donegal flag today. Doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, but it's nice to be back here in Donegal, the Christmas of Irish rally, and then it's a pleasure to be on the start ramp talking to you again.
Yeah. Aaron, of course, for those of you, there's not many on here that don't know, but Aaron is a World Rally Championship navigator who this year picked up his first two victories alongside Taka. They were leading the championship and they're still in contention. I suppose the year couldn't have gone any better. If somebody said to you at the start of the campaign you'd have two wins leading the championship, being there or thereabouts, you would have took it, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely. I would have broke your arm for that before Monte Carlo. But yeah, listen, it's been a good year, I think. At least from my perspective, we always had the speed. It's just been maybe a little bit unlucky at times, but we're there or thereabouts this year, going to Greece now, second on the road, second in the championship at the halfway point, and there's still a long way to go, and we will give it everything to push until the last round in Saudi.
You look up the street, you see the hundreds of spectators and fans here. You see this fantastic array of machinery. You've been around the world. How does this compare to it?
Yeah, the atmosphere and the turnout here in Donegal on Thursday evening rivals any WRC event, if not surpasses it. So it's a credit to everyone here and the popularity of the sport in Ireland, and I think we're in for a good weekend's race, and there is a quality and a quantity entry here with all the classes well represented, and there will be a fight all the way until Sunday afternoon. So I think everyone will enjoy it, and the most important thing is to stay safe and keep the race in its place and enjoy the rally from the ditches.
When are we going to get you in a car doing Donegal?
I just got the calendar for next year yesterday, and unfortunately Greece clashes again, but yeah, at some point I will come back to race in the hills, whether it's co-driver or driver's seat. Let's see what happens.
Okay, good to have you here. Give me a round of applause, Aaron Johnston. All right, Aaron, we'll get you back up to get the cars off the ramp shortly. Okay, let's get into the thick of it. Noel O'Sullivan, winning navigator for the last 3 years, and his driver Callum Devine. They, of course, are the defending champions of the Donegal Rally. Callum is greeting some of his fans, getting the photograph taken. Come on, guys, up he's come. Yes, Noel, good to see you. How are you? Well, Callum, not too bad. Callum, how's life? How are you feeling ahead of this one? You have three titles in the bag, in the back pocket, so you have. Going for a fourth. We're looking here at all these people that's here to see you guys, the first car on the road tomorrow. What's the feeling like now?
Yeah, I suppose just looking forward to getting at it now. Great turnout, as always, here. So, yeah, just I think we're just everybody sort of waiting what the weather's going to do in the morning out there. But yeah, stages is good. They've a fair mixed up the rally this year. A lot of the stages I probably haven't done even in the direction there this year. So yeah, it's great. It makes it a lot more interesting, and yeah, it's definitely a good route.
Definitely a good route and a good field as well. There's a lot of big hitters here alongside you too, isn't there?
There's definitely a lot of big hitters here. So no, look, as I say, I always, yeah, it's great to have these guys here. Obviously for the spectators and bringing the crowds, but also for me as a driver, I always want to try and see where I'm at against the best boys. So it's yeah, it's great, and yeah, I've no doubt they're not going to be hanging about.
What about the car? That's the most up-to-date Skoda, isn't it? The most up-to-date version of her, upgrades and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think all these Skodas at the minute are right up to date. There's plenty of them now in the top 10, and yeah, look, the car's good. We've had a couple of good runs this year, yeah, hopefully this year we have another good run.
Good to talk to you, the car. I'm on beside you. Five in a row, Killarney's, isn't it?
Five in a row, yeah.
Look, that's, that equaled the record, or beat the record? Was Bertie had the record, didn't he?
Bertie has five as well, yeah, right, so okay, yeah. We have to do another one to beat Bertie's record, but yeah, look, we're here this weekend. It's great to be here with number one in the door. Look, three wins and a bounce, I guess. There'll be a target on our back this weekend, but look, Donegal obviously is the one everyone wants, and I suppose maybe there's a little bit of pressure off us this weekend that we have our wins, but yeah.
Where's the pressure?
Yeah, no, look, it's for me, it's the same job anyway, if I'm number one in the door or 51 in the door, so it's, for me, it's okay. Maybe Callum there might be a little bit different, but yeah, my job's the same anywhere I go, so. But look, Friday's obviously new, it's a level playing field. This rally is pretty new. Look, there's maybe two stages that are identical to last year, so it's a pretty level playing field. And yeah, look, I guess everyone will be tuned in tomorrow morning looking for the times of the first stage and see what happens.
I certainly will. Give a big round of applause. Your defending champions, three in a row, Callum Devine, Noel O'Sullivan. They're going to be hunted down tomorrow morning, there's no doubt about it, because they've got number one on the door. Delighted to have them here. Two very cool and calm customers. Okay, Mr. Chris Meeks and his navigator for the weekend, Liam Regan, you'd like to join me up the front. Give them a round of applause. Chris, good to see you again. Liam, oh yeah. Chris, here we are, the night before, as they call it here, Christmas Day. We eventually get to see Chris Meek doing Donegal in a top-end car. How are you feeling now here, just hours away from the start of it?
Good tonight. I don't know. Tomorrow morning, obviously, is going to be a bit interesting with a bit of expected rain overnight. So, yeah, them bog roads out by Guido are challenging enough. And if you add a bit of mixed weather in, it's going to be interesting tomorrow morning. So I'm excited for it. The stages are certainly unique here in Donegal. You know, We'd done a good bit of work with the car 3 or 4 weeks ago with Toyota, so I'm hoping it's good shape, but the proof will be in the pudding.
Is that going to be beneficial, the test that was done recently? Because there was a lot of talk about it, and obviously there's a lot of Yaris's in Ireland now, and everybody is looking to benefit off it. Have you seen a change in the car?
Oh, there's definitely a change, but you can never do enough testing. The roads here are so unique, you know. You go down a bog road, you're getting bumps, kicks, left, right, and then you get out onto Nogala, which is a bit more smooth and stuff. So you need a car working everywhere. You could have tested for 3 weeks in Donegal and still not find the perfect setup. So I think we're in better shape, but it's not to say more you could learn more. But over the weekend, I'm sure we'll make a few adjustments. But I think we're in good enough shape.
As you told me before, you're not coming to Donegal just to sit around and enjoy the atmosphere. You're only here to do one thing, and that's to win it, Chris.
Well, anybody who knows me at this stage, I'm at this game now 20-odd years. And yeah, I definitely want to put the helmet on and want to try to win, but I'm not underestimating the challenge here. Callum's been the benchmark in Irish rallying over the last 4 or 5 years, and he's dominated to a certain degree, and he's found that perfect blend of consistency and the speed. So yeah, look, I'm stepping into the unknown. I haven't driven a rally 2 in a rally in 8 months, so yeah, it's going to be a wake-up call tomorrow morning, but yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Bring your navigator in. Liam, when you come, listen, you were sitting along with William last year, so you have a bit of knowledge about Donegal. Do you think that'll help you guys? Because this is the first time you've been together at this sort of end of the field, if I'm right in saying so. Is that going to be beneficial for the partnership over the next couple of days?
Yeah, obviously, if you do a rally before, you have some experience of it, you know, it's going to be useful, but during the recce, I tried to point out a few things, you know, over the years where maybe things have went wrong or a tricky corner for people. Things have went wrong for myself and William on Nogala a couple of times, actually, so we're able to point those corners out. But yeah, I mean, I've done some testing with Chris, and we did a rally in France together a while back, so like, we'll try and get into a good rhythm early and see how we'll go. But as Chris said, you know, Callum has been the benchmark, and everybody in the top 10 thinks, you know, they have a chance of winning, I'm sure. So yeah, we'll give it a go.
You drove a Skoda here at one time too in the Historics, didn't you?
Very slowly, and I cracked this joke last year. I finished about 2 weeks ago, but yeah, look, the Skoda is just a bit of fun. There's a family tradition with Skoda Historic cars. In fact, I've bought another one about a month ago, so I'm going to try and do the Ulster Rally. But yeah, as I said last year, you get to learn the tarmac and where it's slippy and abrasive and all that, so every little helps.
Okay. Listen, Liam, thanks for talking to us. The very best of luck. Give them a round of applause. Chris Meek, Liam Regan, they're here in the Toyota Yaris. They're here to win in Donegal. Delighted to have them here. And listen, the big names just keep coming. We're now going to move from Skoda to Toyota and into the environment of the M Sport Ford. We've got current WRC competitors, Josh McAuley and Owen Tracy. The Derry Cork Partnership are joining us here on the ramp. Josh, good to talk to you. Good to see you.
Indeed.
Owen,
how's it going?
Good, man. You're a lot taller than you looked on the TV, so you're... Listen, Owen, you're here in Donegal. I know this has been a bit of a dream of yours to come here and eventually compete, but you're coming into this event off the back of being a World Rally Championship driver. Why did you decide to do this and just take a wee break for a week or so away from the Rally One stuff?
Yeah, it's always obviously been a dream to compete here in Donegal. I think every year growing up, I've been here lining the ditches, and yeah, even last year I was here at the start ramp, and to see the atmosphere, see the crowds, and it's obviously the biggest rally in Ireland. So the opportunity came up with M-Sport, basically to try showcase the Fiesta back in Ireland again. And we jumped at the opportunity. Obviously a lot of local support as well with local people, Seamus Kelly of Kelly Motorsport, and yeah, Woodland and I for jumping on. And yeah, it's good to have Owen here too to go for it properly.
Yeah. Will it take you long, or will it be not an issue, but for you to familiarise yourself jumping from Rally 1 to Rally 2, because there is a bit of a difference, but to get a real hang of the car, will it take you long to bed in tomorrow, do you feel?
Yeah, it's a question mark I don't know the answer to yet, but hopefully it doesn't take that long. We drove a Rally 2 car last year in Midland, so it hasn't been so long. Obviously, there's a lot of updates for the Fiesta since then, and yeah, hopefully we can get onto it by tomorrow night and race the boys at the front. But yeah, what a lineup! Callum going for a fourth win. Chris, what a 5 or 6-time WRC winner. Whenever I was growing up, so.
But you're here to beat them all.
We'll give it a go, but I'm not going to back down to the challenge that is.
Okay, a Cork man. We're not going to speak football, right? We'll just talk rallying.
Sure.
We're not allowed to talk about the football. Listen, how excited are you here now? I know you've done Donegal once before, Rowan, but now you're in one of the main cars here. And in with a shout, let's be honest, 3 days of rally, and these boys will be contenders here. So if you could get to the finish ramp at the Mount Errigal on Sunday as a winner of the Donegal rally, what would it mean for you personally?
That would be a huge dream come true. Coming to Donegal, lining up in the top three is unbelievable as it is. So just to do the work now over the weekend and put in a good showing of ourselves, it's really, really exciting.
You have the recce done. What stage are you looking forward to?
I think Atlantic Drive. For me, that stands out as a special favourite.
And as a current WRC driver, what stage are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I would say Atlantic Drive is probably the stage of the rally. But yeah, Friday's definitely different. It's good for us. It's new for everyone. So yeah, all of them in different ways.
Well, we're delighted to have you here. The rally fans in Donegal are delighted to see you here as well. So, Josh and Owen, have a good rally. Have a safe rally and an enjoyable one. And we'll see you at the finish ramp on Sunday. Okay, give them a round of applause. The Downies people will be delighted to hear that the Atlantic Drive's their favourite stage. Okay, who else do we have lined up here now? Is Josh there, Josh Moffat, and Andy Hayes, former winners. Seated, of course, as well. I'm just looking up the street here. How we fix Michael? I think, yeah, I see him coming down here. The Monaghan man is on the way. They, of course, won in 2022, and that was the 50th anniversary of the Donegal International Rally on that occasion. It's not an easy event to win, that is for sure, but these boys were able to do it in the final day. As I talk them up, because they've walked half the Port Road at this stage. Josh, good to see you again.
How you doing?
Good, man. Andy, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Just talking about 2022. What's that, 4 years now since you won the Donegal Rally? That's right up there with everything you've done in your career, Josh.
Yeah, certainly. It's one we certainly look back on now and again. And yeah, look, it'd be nice to do it again sometime. But as you can see here behind us, there's a serious lineup of machinery, and there's a big lineup of people there looking to try and do the same.
Well, as you well know, that anything can happen in this event, and you have to think as yourself as being in contention and being a possible winner here.
100%, yeah. Like, it's a very long weekend, and as we've seen over the years many times, anything can happen. So, yeah, you need to be there or thereabouts throughout the weekend and try and get it in the end if it's available.
What would it mean to win it again, Andy? What would it mean to win it again if you can?
I think the first time I didn't really realise how big it was until it was kind of all over, so it'd be brilliant now to win it again and kind of soak the whole thing up.
Yeah. Just about on the Yaris, UKR obviously for you, there have been lots of tweaks done to the Yaris since this mega test was held in Donegal. Are you confident coming onto the weekend with the car, Josh?
Yeah, look, I suppose we've been driving the car now all year, so we've been clocking up a nice bit of mileage, so yeah, look, we're fairly happy with the car, and we'll see how the weekend goes.
Okay, listen, the very best of luck with it. Josh Moffat and Andy Hayes, your winners from 2022, looking for another one here in 2026. Okay, let's continue by speaking to some of the competitors. Eddie Doherty, come on up, Eddie. I met, of course, a monster man who was marshalling a short time ago, just down below. And he said to come on, the Munster men. The Munster men and the Donegal boys aren't getting on too good at the minute, no matter what sport it's in. Eddie Doherty and Tom Murphy. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
Eddie, what's the feeling like, a man coming the whole way from Munster and up into Donegal and trying to go on the cream of the crop in these World Stars?
Look, it's amazing for us, I suppose. If you look at the three ahead of us, they're either European or World Championship drivers. So, look, we're really looking forward to the challenge. I only done the international once before in an Escort, so this is going to be completely different.
Yeah. And do you think the car, obviously, that you're in this weekend, the Skoda Fabia RS, there's lots of them now. The general feeling seems to be this may be the car that's suited to the type of training in Donegal. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. Look, if you look at the last 2 or 3 years, Callum has shown it there straight off the bat. And I think the car is always developing. We're always trying to improve it. And yeah, I think it is the car to beat.
Okay. And listen, Tom, quick word for you. Excited about Donegal, are you?
Yeah, look, can't wait. As I said, I've been coming up here, I'd say, every year for the last 10 or 12 years, and like, it's always the buzz from being on the ditches and everything. Now to be competing in the top five cars, just like, it's a dream even to be even here in this position, so I'm really looking forward to getting going.
Starting to spit rain here now. That rain tomorrow won't bother you, will it?
Nah, sure, look, we're well used to rain in Ireland. If we're not used to it at this stage, we never will be.
Hey, listen, Tom and Eddie, the best of luck with it. Thanks for joining. David Kelly, if he wants to join me. Also, Murrian Evans of Murrian is there as well. David and Shane Buckley is coming up. Murrian might join us too. We're live on Highland Radio on the Score programme tonight, and we'll be breaking away shortly, but we'll just get a quick word with David before we do that. David, how you doing, boy? Good to see you again. You finished third for the last 2 years. You've got a new Skoda and probably one of the best cars in the country now at this stage. You'll be looking for improvement on how the finish has been the last couple of years, and that only means one or two things, a first or a second. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, look, we're definitely going to try our best here this weekend, but there's a lot of big competition, like no different than the other year, but a lot of new drivers and stuff here, so we'll have to do our very best, but really looking forward to the challenge, and supposed to get the experience here to race these guys is class.
But you come with confidence, you've got wins this year, so you have, it's been a good year for you.
Oh yeah, no, look, we've gelled well with the new car and stuff, so hopefully we can kind of kick a bit of wind from our sail and, you know, push it into the weekend.
Right, okay. And listen, Shane, you're excited for it. What are you looking forward to most about Donegal?
The finish.
There's a long way to go between now and the finish.
It's a huge challenge, and, you know, it's the recce, it's a big recce, it's the longest rally of the year, and can't wait for the challenge, you know.
Okay. Favourite stage that you're, I suppose, that you really want to get stuck in tonight?
Probably Trent, I think. I've done that a few times and it's always been good to us, and yeah, I'd like to get stuck in there.
Okay. Listen, guys, the best luck, Shane. David, okay? We'll see you out in the stages. David, of course, the man who was looking to break into the top two after consecutive third place finishes. Marion Evans and Jared Conway, the Welsh-Irish partnership. Gentlemen, how are you doing? Good to see you, Marion. Jared, back again. I said to David, he's been third the last 2 years. And he's looking for improvements, so that means one or two things. You were second the last 2 years, so the improvement there only means one thing. Is this the year that Marion Evans can take a Donegal win?
It's the year he's going to try again anyway, that's for sure. So, yeah, look, second last year was obviously with the entry was very good. It was a really good race. I enjoyed it, but yeah, we've come back second twice. We'd love to go one better, to be honest.
And the Sunday's always been good to you. You like driving that Sunday, so you do?
Yeah. Last year, Cairn Hill in the morning, we struggled a bit, but the rest we were really strong on. Fanid seems to have been good just over the last few years, so if we can get there in a position to fight for a win, maybe it looks quite good, but let's see, there's a lot of work to do before that.
You two sat together for the first time just a couple of years ago, and it worked out all right. So this is the third time that you're doing Donegal together, is that right, Jer?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Third time lucky?
Hopefully, yeah.
Listen, what's the prep been like for you?
It's been good, yeah. Everything's changed up, as everyone knows, a bit this year, so there was a bit more work to do recce-wise and stuff, but no, looking forward to it.
Awesome. Have a good rally, okay? Have a safe one, and we'll see you again on Sunday back at the finish ramp. Give a round of applause. Marion Evans from Wales, Jared Conway, the Irish man, of course, they are in the Toyota Yaris. As I look down to see, where's Gary Jennings? We'll talk with Gary Jennings. He's at the very top. He might have to run the whole way down. So we might, we'll get talking to Gary and maybe a few more. Yeah, here he comes. Eamon Kelly, is Eamon Kelly there as well? If you want to direct Eamon down my way, we'll get a word with Eamon. The Fermanagh man that makes Donegal his home. We'd have to say that this is Gary Jennings' first event back since his accident early last year. Some might have said that Gary Jennings will never put a foot or hands on the steering wheel of a rally car ever again. But guess what? He's worked really, really hard. He's the Fiesta here. Gary's going to tick to the stages tomorrow. I think the family involved in rallying are delighted to see Gary back. There's no doubt the spectators are delighted to see Gary back. Gary, here we are now, the night before it. How's this feeling tonight for you compared to other years that you stood in the ceremonial start ramp?
Yeah, I don't think there's much change from any other year. Full of excitement. Can't wait to get going. And yeah, it's like Christmas Day. It's like Christmas Eve, and we're going to wake up to a great day's fun tomorrow.
How hard did you have to work to get back in any sort of shape where you could put the hands on the steering wheel again and drive a rally car?
Yeah, I think I had to work very, very hard, and probably a lot of work to do, but I'm going to go out and enjoy myself. I think this year is going to be different. There's no pressure on me. I thank the boys for getting the car ready last night, and it just feels like it did before we had the big accident. So, look, we've worked hard, the whole team's worked hard, and we're here, and very, very glad to be here.
You had to take your place from a very low ebb mentally, so you did. Like, your accident was very, very serious, Gary, and it could have went another way. It could have been worse, but it didn't. So mentally, how was it draining on you to try to get your focus back into getting into a rally car?
Oh, I no doubt it was always going to happen. I think from when I got come conscious again after the accident and was talking to doctors, I was always coming back. You might say no, but I was saying yes. And yeah, we got here, and it has been a tight struggle, both mentally and physically. Are we there yet? No, we're about 80%, but we'll get there. It might take a wee bit more time, but it's great to have to focus on something, I guess, to be ready for it. And yeah, just so grateful to be here.
You're feeling the buzz when you're looking around here and you're seeing all the people in the cars on the street.
Yeah, all these young fellas and old boy like Chris Meek, a bit like myself there. He said he's rallying 20 years. I think he's rallying 40 years. Yeah. But no, I wish him the best of luck, and it's great to see Chris here and all the top-class drivers, you know, with the best cars here in Europe and the best drivers.
You know what, Gary, it's great to see you here as well, because we thought maybe at one stage we might not see you back in a rally car. But I think, speaking on behalf of everybody here standing on the Port Road in Letterkenny, that we are so sincere in wishing you the very, very best of luck this weekend, and we'll see you back at the finish on Sunday, Gary.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, a round of applause for Gary. Brilliant to see him here. Okay, Eamon Kelly and Philip Allen are up next to join us here on the start ramp. What I might just do... Yeah, here he comes. Come on, Eamon. Come on, up you come. Eamon and Allen. Two men and Toyotas. The Toyota men. Eamon, you're the local guy. You're the Frosses. You're the Donegal man. There was a lot of tweaking done to these Yarises over the last few weeks with various testing. And here we are now at the big one in Donegal. What's the feeling like from you, having experienced the car over the last couple of weeks now coming into Donegal?
Yeah, it's definitely progressed over time, and I think it's always getting better bit by bit. But yeah, always improving, and I think it's up to, for me personally, just to get more used to it and get the mileage. We haven't done that much rallying this year in general, so yeah, we just need to try and get the mileage over 3 days and try and get used to a car that is really good, and we just have to try and, yeah, make the most of it.
How do you tackle tomorrow? It's going to be challenging, there's no doubt about it. There's going to be a lot of rain around as well. Different type of Donegal stage.
Just keep the head, I think. Try not to get carried away. It's a long weekend, 3 days, and yeah, nearly 300k driving. So, yeah, tricky stages, but the same for everybody, you know. So, like I said, just use the head, but also try not to get left behind.
Philip, you got to look at the stages, so you did tomorrow as well. They can be tricky. We were wondering if Philip Allen was going to be here, because I know you had a mishap or two in the lead up to this event. But listen, you've a car sorted. You're here in Donegal now. How do you approach it tomorrow?
Yes, there's 5 or 7 years maybe if I done a rally here. So it's brand new to me, and I'm not really sure where we're going to be. Just get around Friday and see where we go from there.
What about the challenge of Knock Alla? Is that something that whets the appetite, is it, and first thing on a Saturday morning?
Oh, no, I quite like it. It's an anti-drive, it's a very tricky event. Making the notes is I really struggle with. I think it's probably the hardest stage for me, for sure, but I suppose everyone's different.
You're doing a lot of stuff. You're in the ERC and everything this year, so you're compacting in a lot of events, but I'm sure when you thought about Donegal, this was the one you wanted to be here for.
Sure, this is the one everybody wants to do. Like, this is the holy grail of home, so let's see how it goes. It's going to take a few years, but try and be as close as we can to the boys, but that's the plan.
Best of luck with it, Philip. Philip Allen and Eamon Kelly. Gents, thanks for joining us. Best of luck over the weekend. Okay, as we look down through the cars once again, I see John O'Donnell and Paddy Robinson's in front of me. We'll call them up. These two gentlemen are, of course, locals. They're in the M3 BMW. They won in Donegal last year, and they are the current Tarmac Championship leaders. So, John, no pressure again in 2026.
Yeah, well, just to correct you, I suppose we're not leaders this year. We won the championship last year, but we're currently lying fourth, but we've won the last couple of events, so we're on a charge to try and become leaders.
Right, try and become. That's you taking all the pressure off you and throwing it back at me. So it is, John. But listen, you want to do this again, you would take anything. If you won Donegal, nothing else really matters. So it doesn't. I think that's a fair enough assessment. You've said that yourself. But having won it and now trying to go again in the historics, which has been become an even more competitive class, so it has, with all the new additions of this other machinery.
Yeah, it is indeed. Anybody that knows me knows that we've been rallying a long time, and we've been known to not finish a few, but since Paddy has come on board this last year and a half here, we've really elevated to the top. So it's all about the teamwork and the team behind you, and we have a good team, and with Paddy on the side there. So since Paddy's got into the car, he has settled the car and maybe settled the driver, and thank God we have a lot more crystal on the shelf since.
I think it might be more about settling the driver than the car, Paddy, would you agree?
I know, he's like a bold wind for long enough there, so he was, but no, the thing's working well, and we get on really well inside and outside the car, and you know, we would discuss a lot about notes and different bobs, and the thing's working well now together.
Listen, you've been sitting alongside various drivers, various types of machinery, but there's something about this BM and this historic section that has now become very, very attractive to a lot of people involved in the sport.
You're right. You know, like the modern, we'll call them modern historics, is what we all grew up watching, and they really resonate with all of us. But like to go through stages and see people hanging out a hedge just wagging at you and smiling, it does the heart good, like, you know.
I'm going to speak to two guys now that are doing their first Donegal International. How many have you done?
Oh, I think I've 16 or 17 done.
These boys are only 16 and 17 years of age. What about you, John? How many of you now at this stage?
There you go. That is our own Oisin Kelly live at the ceremonial start of the Donegal International Rally. The action gets underway tomorrow morning, 11:16. The first car is due at Special Stage 1 at Sleahan. Then we go to Sean Valia and Dara Freel for the first three stages. So it all gets underway tomorrow morning, and Oisin Kelly and Chris Ashmore will be bringing us live coverage of the Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally all weekend, so you won't miss a thing here on Highland Radio. We'll take a quick break here on the programme. When we come back, we'll be hearing from Declan Boyle, who's going to run his eye over this week's fixtures in the League of Ireland.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home to a full range of Gaelic gloves designed for comfort, grip and performance. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
You're welcome back to the final part of The Score. So Finn Harps and Derry City both face away trips in the SSE Airtricity League tomorrow night, but both clubs are going into the respective games off the back of very contrasting results. For Harps, they make the 11-hour round trip to take on Cove Ramblers. That's in the First Division, having been hammered 5-0 by UCD at Finn Park last week. Kevin McHugh's side are now second from bottom of the standings and are going through a very tough period of results. Derry City, meanwhile, head west to play Galway United in the Premier Division after a 4-1 win over Bohemians last Friday. That result was the Candy Stripes' first league win since April and marked their last game at Derry GA's Celtic Park. A little bit earlier today, I caught up with former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle, who called into the studio to preview the action. So, unfortunately, these conversations haven't really gotten much easier over the past couple of weeks when it comes to Finn Harps. You were hoping a couple of weeks ago, getting beat maybe 4-0 down in Cork, that it might have turned out to be a, well, it's Cork result, but then getting beat 5-0 at home last week to UCD is a bit of a worry, Declan.
Yeah. It's a bad trend. I suppose at the moment the team seems to be in a bad situation in regards to their results, and performance haven't been great neither. You look at it as well. I mean, you know, 3-0 away, Finn Harps 2-2 with Longford, Cork 4-0, losing 4-0 last week, 5-0 UCD, incomprehensibly beaten. And you know, so I mean, as Kevin said himself after the game, was beaten by a better team. You know, so that's worrying. Obviously, away to Cove this weekend. You know, I know they got did get a good enough result the last time they were down there, but you know, the current form, the goals that they're conceding, obviously, and the amount of goals, and then top that they're not scoring many as well. So it's a real bad combination. You put that all together, now going to a trip to Cove, it's going to make it very, very difficult, and it's very hard to see them picking up anything down in Cork.
Yeah, you spoke about it there, Kevin, after the game last week. I think he was probably most disappointed that there was such a gulf in class between themselves and UCD, and that is the real issue. With the transfer window opening up, we've seen a few faces going out. Do you expect to bring a few faces in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, you'd be hopeful that there is you know, resources there to do that. You know, the fact that they've let three players go, and you know, Kenny, he'll be looking now to replace those three players. You'd hopeful that hopefully the board can support him and give him the, you know, resources he needs to bring players in. For one reason or other, not playing well, that combination of not playing well and, you know, I don't think that UCD are that far ahead of Swin Harps. I just think that at the moment they're in a really bad situation. The confidence is low, and the performance has been very, very poor. And so, you know, they just need a wee bit of coming together, a wee bit of resilience, and you know, hopefully, you know, they can get a good result somewhere that might kickstart them into the season again. But at the moment, when you're losing games, and you're losing games comfortably, you end up getting deeper into a shell, and you lose that confidence to go out and express yourselves. And that's what's seen at the minute, you know. So, yeah, listen, but hopefully that they can get a wee bit of resources, a bit of funding, and get more players in July. You know, it's only around the corner, as we know. So, you know, and he probably needs to get 4 or 5 players just to give it a wee bit of energy to support the players that are there a long time. And they when players leave a club and you're not going so well, it kind of zaps energy from everybody else. When new players come in, and hopefully adds a wee bit of energy and gives you more momentum going forward. And hopefully, you know, if he can add 3 or 4 players into the squad that are better than what he had previously, you know, hopefully that'll make the difference, and the results will hopefully pick up from there.
And you think maybe a wee bit of quality in the final third might be the top priority coming into July?
Yeah, it is. It's always the hard part to get, but Mark, that's the problem, you know. So you're bringing in players and you're still hoping that they'll answer, you know, all your issues that you're having on the playing pitch. But, you know, getting players on top end of the pitch, getting a striker, you know, that's always the hard part. You know, Kevin obviously played his son a few times as well, and you know, it's difficult when he's so young, you know, very little experience, to be throwing him in there to make a difference in the game, you know. So, and that's not ideal for me. But yeah, listen, I suppose the problem you have is trying to get that wee bit of quality to come in and make a difference, and hopefully he might be fit to identify, and probably knowing Kevin with the research he does and the time he puts into it, probably he might have players already identified and maybe lined up to come up.
So this week, tomorrow night, is Cove Ramblers away. In many ways, Cove are maybe where Harps want to be. They're right in the mix for the playoffs and really eyeing up a realistic promotion push. How do Harps go to Cove and get a result tomorrow night? What kind of performance will it take if they are to get a result?
Yeah, I'm not convinced they will, Mark, at the moment. I'm really not. But to go down there, they're going to have to be very resilient. They're going to have to defend well. And they're going to have to be a threat going the other way as well. So that's, you know, if you're sitting a wee bit deeper and you look to play, you must also cause them problems going the other way. When they come forward in numbers and there's space left behind, can you exploit that space? Can you get, you know, a combination play where you're introducing 5 or 6 different passes to get players in advanced area that are running in behind their back 4 full backs to cause them problems as well? Because if you keep soaking up pressure and soaking it up, if you keep giving the ball away, eventually what will happen is they're going to score, and that's going to be a problem. So it's been resilient, defend well, but also when you're in possession, you must keep possession and you must hurt the team you're playing against.
Elsewhere tomorrow night, leaders Cork host bottom side Treaty. Kerry are in Dublin to face UCD. Bray play Longford, and Athlone Town welcome Wexford to the Midlands. So we'll move on to Premier Division matters. Derry City away to Galway United at Eamon Dacey Park tomorrow night. But if we go back to last week, it kind of goes without saying, that 4-1 win over Bowes last week was a result they badly needed and long overdue.
Yeah, absolutely. The results haven't been great up until that, and we know there was definitely a lot of pressure on Tiernan Lynch's manager. And other people are looking to get him out, I think. You know, you can see that the rumblings and the rumours going around, so that's happening, obviously. And I know they've let players go this week as well, so it's going to be really interesting how that impacts their squad in regards to their performance against Galway. We know playing against Galway is very, very difficult, and they're hard to play against, and they're very, very stubborn, and it's going to be a really good test for Derry City. A massive result last week. Probably nobody's seen the 4-1 result coming against Bowes, because I know how good they were, you know, and the fact that Derry came from behind as well.
Down as well, eh?
Yeah. It makes a massive difference, you know. So a big performance, and you know, if they can produce something like that, they have the quality of players. There's nobody questioning that, you know. And when they actually knit it all together and they play really well, that they're a really, really a threat for any team at all, you know. So it'll be difficult against Galway. Kind of see Derry winning, I suppose, with the players that have left or leaving or left, whatever the case may be. It's going to be interesting how that impacts the whole squad in general. But definitely, there's a lack of quality there now on the top end of the pitch. He played with a false 9 last week against Bowes, so can he do that against Galway? I'm not 100% sure, so it'll be interesting to see how that problem is solved. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult game for sure, and I can see Galway getting a result there.
A win for Derry, I suppose, after last week's win over Bowes, it would put a wee bit of daylight between themselves and Galway and get Derry looking up the table rather than looking down the table, because let's face it, before the win over Bowes, you're going, which way are Derry facing here? Because it was Sligo and Galway both there. At least a win this week, it's good motivation to start looking up the table and put a wee bit of daylight between themselves and Galway.
Yeah, I mean, the question was asked, I think, to Tiernan Lynch about the relegation last week, and he turned around and said they had 15 cup finals left. Yeah. Like, so he wasn't thinking positively in regards to going up into Europe. He was thinking about the relegation and staying away from that. So that tells you the mindset that he was in. I'm going into that game last week, and I know that didn't go down well with the Derry fans. So, you know, it's really interesting. Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, you know, Derry with the squad, the budget, the resources they have, they should be well up at the table. They should be up in Europe. They should be up with the St. Pat's and fighting Shamrock Rovers. And I tipped them the start of the season and how wrong I was, but regarding the title. But, you know, at the moment, they're not just singing. And hopefully that result last week will give them that extra boost that they can push into the European places. And there's no doubt about the rumours also coming around that they're going to be a lot of players coming in July as well. So that's going to be interesting. But we know when you bring in a lot of players, it just causes turmoil. You don't get the best out of the team straight away. So, you know, how you gel them in quickly is going to be really important for Derry. But yeah, listen, big game. Can I see Derry getting a result? Probably get a draw, maybe. I'm expecting Galway to turn them over.
James McLean is on punditry for the FIFA World Cup, and something interesting he said this week, something along the lines of, you have conversations with the club on the phone before you come, and then when you get here, the reality is very different. We know James is never shy away from saying it the way it is. What do you think he meant by those comments in particular?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not sure what the conversations were. Obviously, you know, I suppose, no different than anybody else. When you're chatting to somebody, there's always positivity around coming back to Derry City and everything that goes with that. You know, so that them conversations were obviously held. You know, at the end of the day, he's probably getting paid really well to come back to Derry City, I would guess. You know, and we definitely have heard figures being mentioned, but he's probably the highest paid player in the league at the moment, you know. So he's coming back into the League of Ireland. He previously played there. The League of Ireland has changed since he's last left. The quality's a lot better, you know, and he has injuries. We know that the quality, and he's international player for so long, has been a really, really good player for Ireland. And obviously, you know, we know he's coming back, and it just hasn't worked out for one way or another. That's regarding his injuries. His performances haven't been great. You know, if he's been really, really critical of the conversations that he had with either the manager or the chairperson or the directors or who he's having the conversation with. But he needs to be honest as well and say his performances haven't been great, you know, and that's been truthful from looking from the outside, you know. And Derry fan would probably tell you the exact same, you know. So I don't know if that's from him coming home or him not producing the goods or whatever, or injuries. I know he's hip injuries that he's saying he has. So, you know, that's obviously having an effective performance, but performances haven't been good. And that's, for me, the area that he needs to be worried about is performances, rather than worrying about everything else around that.
And back to matters on the pitch, it's actually a double weekend for Derry. They're playing Shamrock Rovers on Monday. So with regards to momentum, that win over Bowes, it's so important they don't lose to Galway tomorrow when you're heading into that big game against Shamrock Rovers. And then if you come through the weekend unbeaten, then you're heading back to the Brandywell and things can look nice and rosy. So tomorrow night's a massive game for Derry.
Oh, yeah, a massive weekend. You mentioned it, Mark. That's two massive games and two away games. And they're probably paying the price now of having them four games at the start of the season at home, with the pitch and all being done up. But yeah, listen, Galway away and then Shamrock Rovers, which is a really, really good test for them, you know, up in Shamrock Rovers, leading the way of Shamrock Rovers. And I'm not being convinced of Shamrock Rovers this year, but they're just doing enough. And they're staying up on top of the table, and we know they'll probably kick on now in July as well. But yeah, listen, you know, can they get a result, or can they get 3 points in Galway? And the momentum of that will bring them straight into a big showdown with Shamrock Rovers. But I'm just not convinced that they'll get two big results at the weekend. I'm just, you know, something tells me that at the moment, I just don't see it happening.
Elsewhere, tomorrow night, Drogheda are at home to Shelburne. Leader Shamrock Rovers, we talked about them, they're away to Waterford. Dundalk go to Bowes, and Sligo, Declan, they'll be looking to bounce back from a disappointing defeat last week, losing 4-0 down in Waterford. We know Waterford are, you know, on the upturn, but that was a disappointing result for Sligo, and Sligo are away to St. Pat's tomorrow, and that's not an easy game either, Declan.
No, difficult game. Yeah, listen, I suppose we take the Waterford performance, not a good performance by Sligo Rovers. Four, I know the Ollie Denham was sent off, obviously, in the middle of the second half. That obviously caused, you know, well, made it very, very difficult for Sligo down there. Beating 4-0 could have been 6. You know, so that Pottinger Almond had a hat-trick and probably could have had five. And Vernis, he missed a couple of good chances normally he would put away. So big, big performance by Waterford. I could see that happening just because Waterford being a really good fan of form, new manager in, and I've no doubt that he's going to add more players as well. The contacts that he has over in England, he's going to bring players in to strengthen up that Waterford squad. That closes that gap now between and to 5 points between Sligo Rovers and Waterford. It's going to make it very, very tight. Sligo are going to have to produce a performance. I know they have a few injuries, obviously, and they're trying to. John Russell's working on trying to get probably players in. He's definitely short a striker for sure. Somebody that's a threat up the top end of the pitch, and I've no doubt he'll look to address that in July. But at the moment, they need to get points. Will they get 3 points against St. Pat's? The performances of the last couple of years tells me they won't.
Good stuff, Declan. Thanks very much for your input. As always, interesting as always, and we'll be talking to you again soon. All right, enjoy the sport of the weekend.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Mark.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle looking ahead to this week's games for Finn Harps and Derry City. We're almost out of time here on the programme tonight, but we will have a quick look at what else is happening in live sport this weekend. In Gaelic games, Donegal and Dublin are going head to head for a spot in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship quarterfinals. It's knockout football now. One will progress to the last eight and one will bow out of the championship. We will have full live match commentary as always here on Highland with Pádraig Kilfordy, Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne from the 1:15 throw-in at GAHQ on Sunday. At minor level, it's a big weekend for Tyrone and Derry in the first of the All-Ireland minor semi-finals tomorrow night. Tyrone are playing Kildare at Breffni Park in Cavan from 7:35, while on Saturday Derry play Cork at Parnell Park in Dublin. That one gets underway at 4 o'clock. And the Donegal ladies will aim to put last week's defeat to Dublin in the All-Ireland Championship behind them. James Daly's side are at home to Mayo in Glenfinn at 1 o'clock and will have updates with Maureen O'Donnelly. Finally, tomorrow marks the start of the 2026 Ireland Summer Games, where 35 athletes from the Northwest Special Olympics are representing Ulster across the weekend. There are local athletes competing in bowling, equestrian, soccer, basketball and gymnastics. So the very best of luck to all involved. That is just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of the show, it'll be available to listen back to very shortly over on the website at highlandvideo.com. It's a massive weekend in sport here in Highland, so tune in and don't miss a thing from the Donegal International Rally and, of course, the football, the Donegal Dublin game. But the rally, in terms of the rally, Oisin Kelly and Chris Ashmore will be live regularly with stage-by-stage reports and reaction all weekend. I am Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much, as always, for listening in. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.